Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our sponsors, WS Forum and Beaver Builder. If you're interested in joining WP Coffee Talk as a guest or a sponsor, please visit our site at wpcoffeetalk.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. I'm your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette, serving up the WordPress stories from around the world. And today my guest is Rhytus Loris, who is the CEO and co-founder of Omnisend. Welcome, Rhytus. It's so good to have you here.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for inviting. Great to be here as well.
It's my pleasure. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So I'm co-founder and CEO of Omnisend, as you said. So Omnisend is a marketing automation platform that helps those who sell online, helps them to communicate with their existing customer base. So basically, if you own an online store, if it's like standalone store, maybe you have a blog and you have some merch selling around that, etc. So usually to attract the customer for first time to purchase from you, you lose. So because you pay so much for ads, for Facebook, for Google ads, etc. And in order for the customers to become profitable and really to run a business, proper business for you, you have to retain your customers. So basically invite them repeatedly to purchase again and again and again. So that's what Omnisend does. Basically, we help to communicate with those existing customers via email, SMS messages, web push notifications. So someone calls it like newsletter, someone calls it automation, and actually it's all combined in one tool.
I love automations because they make life so much easier.
Exactly.
And when you're in the business of selling, having some of that automated certainly would take some of the burden away from the work that you do on a daily basis. So I think that's wonderful.
That's what we say for our customers. You know, you set up once and you sleep and we do the job for you. So.
When I used to build websites for customers when I was freelancing, I'd say the same thing. You go, you know, like I was working with somebody who was a painter. They painted houses. I'm like, you go paint the house. I will fix your website for you.
But that's the best, you know.
Yeah,
always
absolutely.
Have a professional. So if it's a person or a tool which can do the job for you. So yeah. Agree.
I also didn't do my own taxes because it was important to have somebody who knew what they were doing do my taxes. So 100% I'm behind you on what you do for sure. Well, show us what you're drinking out of today. I always ask people to show us your mug and what you're drinking. So today you've got a nice water bottle.
Yeah, it's a water bottle. It's like branded. It's Omnisend written. Not sure if you can see here. It's branded. It's made. It's 100% environment friendly, renewable.
Oh, nice.
Sugar cane. Yeah, so it's not a plastic. It's degradable after some time. So have not started to degrade while I'm drinking, but
that's good.
Which is good. Sometimes with those biodegradable items, they just start to degrade too soon. So this is not the case. Really good quality. I love it. I love it. And it's water in it. So
very
that's
good.
What I love the most. Just the tap water. And in Lithuania, where I'm based, we have very happy to have good quality tap water. So
nice.
No need even to have water coolers. You just drink from the tap, and that's what I mainly consume as a drink.
My biggest pet peeve about things that are biodegradable, I love it, except for straws. When they give you a paper straw, and like it tastes like cardboard, and it's three sips, and you're like, it's falling apart.
True. The best straw which I tried from those environmental friendly are bamboo, made from bamboo. I assume they are a bit more expensive than paper ones, so maybe that's the reason why they're not because to grow bamboo is basically you can produce, it's not as a normal tree that it doesn't take ages to grow up, so you can really mass produce it. And again, it's there are no those bad feelings about having some paper in your mouth.
Exactly.
So bamboo straws are really a great replacement. That's at least what I've tried. I like those the most.
I will have to try some of those because the paper ones are terrible. I would just rather have no straw than a paper straw. So I'm using a mug I've never had on the show before. So this is my Winnie the Pooh. Wow.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh. Nice. Do you love cartoons or fairy tales?
I don't actually, but this is my mother's mug, and when I bought her her home when she moved out, she left it behind for me. So it's just a little sentimental, and also it's a large mug, so it holds a lot of coffee, which is very important first thing in the morning. So
Perfect,
that's mine.
perfect.
So tell us, how did you get started with WordPress?
It was kind of like quite long time ago. So now, and I'm not developer by myself. I'm marketer and business developer manager basically. But prior to Omnisend, I used to run a digital marketing agency. So basically developing as you were a freelancer. So I had a small agency, like what, 12, 15 people, and we were developing websites for our customers, etc. And it was just, I would say, quite the beginning of WordPress in general. And WordPress was perceived mainly at that time as a tool for bloggers. So basically, initially, what we had some kind of our own homegrown content management system, but it was not as robust as what WordPress is now. But basically, we did a website on that system. But if anyone needed to like blog edition and then to produce a content, so basically, we had to our own CMS and WordPress for bloggers. And of course, like WordPress evolved so much as it's absolutely no brainer now. To use WordPress for any cases. And now Omnisend's website and blogging, the main website, is being run on WordPress
Nice.
since the very beginning of Omnisend.
Yeah, I think it's important when you're selling WordPress products, especially that you're using WordPress yourself. It's
True,
like
true.
I want to build one of my next projects, and I'm stalling on a little bit. I've been sitting on a web URL for about 8 years now, is wpwiki.org. I want to build a WordPress wiki, so that other people can contribute. It isn't just, run by automaticians, et cetera. And somebody said to me, "Well, why would you build it on WordPress? It's not easy to do a wiki on WordPress." I'm like, "'Cause you can't have a WordPress wiki and not have it be on WordPress." So yeah, I mean, that's just counterintuitive altogether. So we'll make it work. We'll figure
True.
it out.
But it has to serve a purpose. So that's a very good example, and we have very similar situation in some cases as Omnisend is marketing automation, and basically we send emails, but we are built for those who sell online mainly.
Yeah.
And once we send our communication to some of our customers, we sometimes use ourselves, but sometimes not. Let's say we use Intercom, which is like the tool somewhere in between support and then communication with your existing customers. Platform. So there are some questions. Come on, guys. So you do emails, but you use another tool to send the email. So why is it
Yeah.
so? Just because this the tool is built for SaaS businesses as we are, and we are
Right.
built for online stores. So,
Yeah.
and then the use case is a little bit different. So as in this case, if there is no WordPress wiki, so you have to use something else, and that's the only option, I would say.
We'll figure it out for sure. But I can just see it coming under attack. Michelle did a WordPress site that's not on WordPress. So we'll see. It's still in the very early stages. Tell me when
Looking
you look.
forward for it to be developed.
I will share it with
Yes.
you once it is for sure, and it'll be open for everybody to contribute to, because that's what a wiki
Perfect.
is. So yeah, you'll be able to
Sure.
add Omnisend to it, for example, which will be good. When you look at websites, and you look at a lot of e-commerce sites for sure, what is something that you think that we as web builders don't focus enough attention on that actually would make the website better for the end user?
In general, I would say still user experiences the most important, and of course, I kind of like loading speeds and all the more technical things. But still, as like developers and owners of websites or online stores, yes, I look mainly at an online stores, but a lot of websites as well. So maybe just always to question yourself: is it kind of me? Can you avoid extra click? Can you avoid extra page, etc.? So in the navigation, just each website has the main purpose. And each website has like one main purpose, I would say, and then two or three secondary purposes. And basically, the entire structure of a website has to lead very organically any visitor into the purpose you have. Because all the websites, they are businesses, even if it's not business still, maybe it's non-governmental organization, but still this organization has to have a purpose, and we do have a purpose. So either attract more volunteers, or maybe donations, or maybe whom to help with, etc. So identifying that one purpose, I think it's what would help really to think through the entire user interface and customer interactions and visitors interactions, etc. So I think it's just a question, maybe sometimes while building websites there are too much purposes, or maybe not named the purpose by itself at all. Yeah, so I need a website. Okay, just yeah. So having a website is a kind of a good thing by itself, which I would not agree 100%. I think like having a website shall serve some purpose, which I always think one main is enough, and two, three at most, secondary is what naming before designing, before building, and then it's all the content comes, pictures, call to action buttons, etc. It all follows. So I think that is the most important, and sometimes I still miss in website, both owners and developers, this starting from the purpose of a
Yeah,
website.
I agree. I
It
think
could
it's
be
what
very beautiful, but so hard to navigate.
exactly, or even to know what you're supposed to do when you get there. Like, oh, that's pretty,
Exactly.
but what am I doing here? I don't
Yeah.
know.
Nice moving objects, nice video. I watched it. Am I done or not? So.
Exactly. That's a really good point for sure. What is something that you wish you had known earlier in your WordPress journey that would have made life a lot easier had you known it earlier?
So that's a good question. So maybe not about WordPress as a content management system, but maybe WordPress as an ecosystem. As it's different, and again, it's for me as a CEO of Omnisend is really like understanding and navigating and WordPress. So it has this beauty of open source, and it's totally different to other ecosystems on which a lot of people build online stores. And to be honest, for a while I had this maybe assumption that those are very similar, just because you can launch your online store, etc. There are developers, there are agencies, freelancers who help end customers and users to build websites, either just basic websites or online stores, etc. But in general, like by origin, by mentality of the people who are within the ecosystem, within the WordPress ecosystem, it's completely different in comparison to, let's say, other ecosystems that are here. And I like it. It's way more open. It's way more, I would say, willing to help, and less this cutthroat competition, and just more cooperative and more willing to help, I would say. So
Yeah.
that's one of the things which I misperceived in the past, to be
Yeah,
honest.
I don't think you're alone in that. I think a lot of us come to realize the power of the community and the ecosystem after we've already started to really build something. And then like, wow, I wish I'd known this sooner. So yeah, you're definitely not alone in that for sure. What are some of your favorite WordCamp or meetup talks or experiences? Maybe something that was a pivotal or inspirational moment for you.
So in general, at WordCamps, I would say like Contributors Day, it's what I
Oh, yeah.
like a lot. So speeches are nice, like presentations are nice, and booths are nice, and then of course meeting people is always very, very nice. But like Contributors Day, and then you choose the topic you are interested, and then you can change topics. So I think it's kind of more open, and really you can find more about the ecosystem by itself, about the challenges where you can really contribute to that. And of course, as I'm more in like marketing and in business development, so I choose either marketing topics or events topics, organizing events, etc. So those topics. So probably kind of this is what I like the most about WordCamps, a Contributors Day, and yeah. So some of those, of course, workshops are very, very practical, where you can help with translation, just right on the spot. But yeah, those that I attend, I find them very, very useful.
I was afraid to attend the contributor days for the longest time before I was really part of the community because I didn't know code and I wasn't a coder. And so I thought, if you're going to contribute to WordPress, it must all be about code. And then I remember going to my first contributor day, which was WordCamp US. Gosh, I don't remember what year it was, but it was in Nashville. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is fun. And you get all these great conversations with people and like my stress level went from here, like boom, down to, and I had so much fun. And now whenever I can, I go and I attend a contributor day. And I used to do the marketing teams, but now I do the photos team and help people learn how to upload photos to the photo directory, which is a lot of fun. So
Perfect. Nice.
yeah,
Yeah. So
for
I
sure.
completely, but yeah, that's, I completely agree with that first thing that, maybe not good. Yeah. I'm not a coder myself. And really, maybe I'm new. So can I really contribute? But apparently, yes, you can.
Yes,
So, which is
absolutely.
a great, great, great part of Contributors Day.
Yeah, and a great conversations around the tables too. So like it's more than that. It's also getting to know people and having those networking experiences for sure. So tell us
Agree.
a little bit more about Omnisend and how long have you been around? What do how do you help e-commerce provide solutions for them? Give us a little bit more of more in depth than your introduction earlier.
Okay, for sure. So, yeah, so we are, yeah, we're getting close to 10 years in the market. So that was a spin-off from a digital marketing agency where we built on WordPress websites. Back in the days, and it took us like a few years to really understand how to create value for our customers and then where the core value is. And yeah, around a couple of years. So we launched the MVP product, the MVP version of a product, and we saw initial traction, but no one was like willing to pay for us, to be honest. And then that was quite a challenging situation that we see that while we give away something for free, customers are willing to use, but they're not willing to pay. But again, we learned that maybe that was just about where the core values are and how customers think about and that you should not innovate too much. And as we were innovating about the niche we are serving and with pricing model as well. So basically, well, once we launched Omnisend, like there were generic email marketing services, as Mailchimp was dominating the market, which is still very, very big player. But our main assumption was that for those who sell online, they have way more data about their customers because the entire customer journey actually happens online. So you have all the breadcrumbs based on what you can help automate marketing. And by automating marketing, you can reduce the number of marketing messages you have to send for your customers and increase the relevance of the content. So basically, that's the initial assumption to which we stick up until today. So basically, those who sell online, they track customers' data, and of course, if customers are willing to exchange, if they allow to use cookies, if they'll subscribe for their communication, etc., it's very important not to spam, but to use it like consciously and with regards to regulation and best practices. But yeah, basically, so that's what did not change since the very inception of Omnisend. And yeah, so it was email. We started working with like micro to small businesses. Now we serve all the from the very beginning, from the very beginner to one man show, perfectly fine. And we try to keep the learning curve very, very flat. So for anyone who just maybe launched an online store, who maybe is not a marketing professional, etc., there are a lot of pre-built best practices for communication, for marketing. So basically, you don't have to know when to send. So there are a lot of segments pre-built. There are a lot of templates pre-built for you. You don't have to be a designer. It's all design you can bring from a big gallery. You should not be a data analyst to understand when to send, etc. So it's all those best practices I pre-built in order to start using Omnisend just out of the box. And of course, once the business grow, if you're already a bit larger business, etc. So we serve all the way to to the large enterprise. Enterprise is not our target customer. So that's kind of like what kind of businesses we serve. And what we do is basically, yeah, so we help to communicate with existing customers. And what is very important, so we help automate mainly. And what I really love seeing that more and more like market in general, our customers are automating. And let's say last year, we generated around 1/3 of revenue for our customers from automated messages, and they accounted only 2.6% of all the traffic of messages. So it's really to what we already talked a little bit at the very beginning. Yeah, so it's a great thing that you set up once and then you can forget for a while. And then Omnisend does the job for you. So basically, that's what we help our customers to do, to communicate with their customers with less intrusive marketing. Because you know, we admit that all the advertising could be a little bit intrusive, and
sometimes.
Yeah, but that's what we see. So if especially if you automate, and those so main automations are trigger based. So if we identify that Michelle is looking for new headphones, yeah? So this is what you're interested in. And if someone advertises you headphones while you are in search of new headphones, you are happy and you're accepting that advertising. But if someone is basically trying to sell something that you don't need, so then it annoys you. So this kind of data-based and automated marketing really helps to be more on spot for the customer.
I have recently made a purchase. I use a mobility scooter when I'm out and about, and I was researching them and I finally made the decision. It's actually arriving today, this afternoon. And now I'm getting emails about scooters, and every ad that is associated that Amazon has their tentacles in, it doesn't matter, on Facebook, on wherever I am, Google searching, I'm getting served ads for something that I've already now purchased. And it's like, okay, I already made the decision. I already stop showing me your ads.
But that's, Michelle, very good point. Yeah, very good point. So to stop once the transaction actually has been made is very important as well. Because it annoys customers and it costs for businesses like to keep running those ads, because for each display businesses pay, so it doesn't make any sense. And you know, they pay to annoy you. So
and some things are consumables, right? So some things I might need to buy the same type of item next month. So maybe, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's vacuum cleaner bags or it's pretzels or something. And so getting shown options is a good idea. But when you make a $2,000 purchase, you're not going to buy another one next month. So
Exactly. Sure. But at the same time, even it's like in your case, like mobility scooter. So there is still kind of like some cadence on which people usually buy, or you usually buy. Yeah. So after second purchase, let's say the company can already identify and then say, okay, we see that our customers usually buy once in like, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And because this is a, let's say, a niche product, so we have our customer base and we can automate after the purchase. We know that only after 2 or 3 years we will start reaching out to Michelle promoting this product. But at the same time, we can run some campaigns which are not directly inviting you to purchase a product, but maybe help you with I don't know, how to use it, how to serve, how to maintain it, etc. And especially if, let's say, if we identify that this is a first-time buyer, okay, from that company, you could have bought from another company, but still. And then again, this is automation where let's say, as sometimes people ask me about SMS. Okay, email, it's I understand, but what about SMS? Yeah, so SMS, people are not willing to subscribe that much, etc. So that's what I advise. So use SMS as a post-purchase experience creation. So of course they will not convert directly, but let's say if after the purchase you would send a text message for a customer, so okay, we have already delivered your purchase, you would send a text message asking, did you receive? Yes, no, please Click two
Right.
buttons. Yeah, yes, no. Yes, I received. Are you happy? Could you please leave us a review on general? Are you happy?
Right.
Was the parcel okay? Maybe that was somehow damaged by the delivery company, etc. So kind of like, very small details which will not convert immediately, but which will create a really great experience. And once the customer is in need of a product for the next time, you will be top of mind.
Yes.
And so.
Printer ink has got the market cornered on this. You buy a printer, you buy ink, and now every week I get an email saying you might be out of ink now. You should probably check that. And I don't unsubscribe from that because one of these days I'm going to check and be like, I am out of printer ink. So yes, it does come in handy for sure, especially with those consumables or additional things, right? Like, hey, are you out of paper? Or in the case of something like a scooter or a car, it's like, hey, we have these great new floor mats, or have you considered, these great seat cushions or whatever, So there's always opportunity to upsell with things as well. So I think it's
Agree.
great. It's a matter of how you set it up and how you're using it. So you can create a really great product for people, and then they can use it properly, and those sales are going to go up. So that's beautiful. I love it.
Absolutely agree.
Let me move into our rapid fire questions. They're not really rapid fire. I don't know why I call them that, but I call them that and it sticks. And so that's what they are now. But you take the time that you need to answer them. What are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
So maybe I would not name, but so
That's
I
fine.
think it's kind of using a builder is a great option. So either you hire a professional if you think that you can do it yourself. So builders is a great addition, I think, on WordPress in general. That really simplify for people and makes it more do it yourself way of solution. I would say so. Maybe not prioritizing any of those, but just builders are great. Second, I would say SEO optimization plugins. They are important, mainly just for your website to be findable. And I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. I mean, maybe image optimization, content, etc. There varies, and of course, like marketing plugins. So I'm a bit biased
Of
here, but
course.
I think it's like any kind of forms collecting and converting your visitors into subscribers. Doesn't matter if you sell online, if you don't, but like converting your visitors into subscribers, it what opens you the next opportunity to engage with your customers in the future. And once you have those contacts, of course you need an email marketing tool. So.
Of course. I think that's a perfect answer. Absolutely. At any point in your WordPress or business journey, have you had a mentor, whether it was an official mentor or an unofficial mentor? And can you tell us who that was?
I did not have a mentor, but I love really having this, like occasionally having, well, not occasionally, regular actually having peer-to-peer conversations. So I have quite many peer-to-peer conversations scheduled every 2 months. So basically, the founders, the CEOs of companies that are serving maybe similar industry or maybe are at the similar stage of the business, or maybe a bit older than us, maybe have been in our situation like 1 year, 2 years ago, etc. So I find those kind of self-help or self or two ways mentorship mentorship is like the most effective for me. The reason probably is kind of those because we are similar to one another again by the industry, by maybe by the stage of a business. So that means that you just learn something. So maybe you are going through some challenges right now. Very similar, and that's where you can share experience. Because with mentors they are great, but sometimes mentors they've been in your position maybe 20 years ago, and things have changed, and they have changed, etc. And maybe they are not that fresh to give you the best advice, which would work
True.
now. Those
True.
general advice, of course, like wisdom
Yeah,
or
for
throughout the
sure.
years you collect wisdom, but more maybe tactical and very practical that could work now. So that's what I love a lot.
Nice. I have a mastermind group of Women in WordPress that serves that purpose for me. So I understand that. And it's nice to have that collective conversation where people can build on it and say, oh, I thought of that too, or I did that, and have that, I guess, triangulation or whatever, if you will, to boost one another up. So yes, I think that's a great answer. Who is somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
So I would not probably name one person. So generally, no. What Matt did by launching WordPress in general, making it open source, and helping to serve like what 40% of internet. So it's just incredible. But I think that the power, the true power, is really community and a lot of people who do make their small inputs every day. So that would be my answer. So I admire a lot of developers, companies that work around, etc. And I think that all of them they contribute to success of WordPress and success of those businesses that run on WordPress. Or those businesses that build that serve WordPress customers. So I think that's the most important.
It takes a village, right? Isn't that what they say? It takes everybody to pull it all together. Very good.
Correct.
What's something that you'd like to learn in WordPress, but that you haven't tackled yet?
So I still have a dream maybe to be able to code myself maybe someday, but
Same, same.
it's never enough time for that. Because
Talk.
my friends always make jokes about me. Come on, you run like a IT company of like 200 people. I could not even write a line of code. And they say yes, but
Because I'm smart at hiring the right people to do that for me, right? I know. I always say
exactly.
I want to learn to code, and but and then I'm like, but do I need to?
Yeah,
Exactly.
because
So.
I will not become a good developer. Too old,
Exactly.
but yeah, but of
I
course,
hear you.
there are great pros that do their job
You
very
just
well.
align yourself with the right people to get the job done. That's what's important.
Exactly.
What's the biggest mistake that you've made in WordPress, and what did you learn from it?
So maybe kind of so. That's what they mentioned already. So I think in my agency times, prior to Omnisend, I think we kind of like WordPress quite fast became very, very universal content management system. But for a while, we still stick to some homegrown CMS. But yeah, and still only use WordPress as a like niche blog, etc. Although it was already a powerful tool, which was really like widely supported by all the community, etc. And even when we discontinued our agency operations, so I would say for some of our customers, having their websites on WordPress would have been easier to find someone to maintain it, etc.
Sure.
So that's would probably be.
What's your proudest WordPress moment?
What is the proudest WordPress moment? I think it's still to come.
Okay. And
Mean,
there's
it
big things on the horizon for you.
is. Maybe. So we as a company, as Omnisend, so we are relatively new to WordPress. So we have like a plugin already for a few years, but we did not focus too much on the ecosystems, and as we touched already, maybe because we had some misperceptions about the ecosystem in general, which apparently were not right, which is really great to find it out. So we are really willing to, as a company, and then myself as a like co-founder of that company, so really willing to be present in the WordPress ecosystem, really to contribute to that. And to serve by what we do directly by helping those who run their businesses on WordPress to run their business better, to earn more, But at the same time, really to contribute to the areas where we still see maybe coming just from outside, or maybe hearing from insiders that there are areas where like contribution would be very appreciated. So just like one of examples, like one of the colleagues have just been accepted in organizing team of WordCamp Europe,
Oh,
and
nice.
yeah, and we know that he will really help to improve a website design of conferences. So it's kind of like one area is which I hope I will not insult anyone, but I think like website designs of WordCamps could be better a little bit. WordPress supports, I mean, you can build very good looking website, but maybe it was never a priority area. So that's one of the areas we're willing to contribute as a company. Video as well, education, we have a lot of experience in this area, etc. So we see opportunities where we can be useful and really contribute to the community.
Well, I look forward to seeing that website this year then. I imagine it'll be very good.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, that's right. If you weren't working in tech and in web, what's another career that you might like to try?
So, you know, formally I have graduated political science.
Oh.
So that's what I have my university degree at, and in my early days being a teenager, I managed myself being a politician.
Very good.
And I kind of even chose this as my professional potential path. But I'm very lucky now that I'm not in politics. I'm in business and tech, business and marketing. So I really enjoy being here. So
Maybe it'll be your retirement career. You never know.
you never know, yeah. But now I'm happy, and I intend to stay here.
Good. Okay, good. That's awesome. It's nice that you found something you enjoy for sure.
It's
What's
very
some,
important, I think.
yes, absolutely. What's something on your bucket list?
Not sure if I get the question.
Okay, so a bucket
Can
list is something that you want to make sure that you do before you die someday. In English,
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay.
we have a phrase called kicking the bucket. Like, so if you
Yeah.
die, you kick the bucket. So your bucket list is things you want to do before you kick the bucket.
Thank you. Yeah,
You're
I've learned
welcome.
something new. I've learned,
It's
so
okay.
thank you, Michelle. I learned
No
something new.
problem.
So, okay, it's kind of like maybe related to the previous question. It's related to education, and it's not related to what I'm currently doing, although like my let's say social activities are related to education. And I think that current education system is absolutely dated globally. We still learn, we teach kids in the way as they were taught hundreds of years ago, but the life has changed. And the technology, internet brought completely new horizons, and I think disrupted our society because this is the first time in human history when young people have to teach something elders, because like traditionally it was okay, let's pick a carpenter, yeah, just you have some knowledge, you nail it throughout the years, and it's all comes with practice. And the only way the only direction is that the elder people they teach younger people. And of course young people, you have no practices, so you cannot teach anything. And then now we are in very unique, I would say, situation in the humankind's history when it goes by direction. And my 7 years old son, you know, he knows a lot of tech, in some cases even a bit more than I do. And not talking about my parents, but he knows way more than my parents do. Although they are very smart people, they are doctors,
Yeah.
they are educated people, etc. But you know,
It's not in their experience, yeah.
exactly. So, and I think, so basically, that's outside what I do now, etc. But
Yeah.
so some point, I think that focusing more on in disrupting education system that what is in my bucket list.
I love it. Most people just say they want to travel to someplace in the world, but I like your aspirations are much higher than just seeing the Great Wall of China, for example. So I think that's great. So show us or tell us about a hidden talent or interest that you have that the majority of the WordPress community would not know about.
I know where I have no talents, like in singing, that's for sure. But I love dancing, so
Very
maybe I
cool.
kind of yeah. So I love dancing and in general, and then I like spending time in, time to time I love partying, and sometimes I can be a serious person, but I really admire going out with friends, with colleagues, etc. Time to time, it's my way to reboot sometimes, and to, it really helps me to accumulate some new energy from people, etc.
Oh,
So
that's good.
that's probably, and in general, yeah, and generally I love, like, my hobby, I love reading books, including
Okay.
fiction.
Okay.
Yeah, not too much into TV or movies, but love books.
Oh, very good. I love that. Maybe I'll send you my book if you want. And you can read
Perfect. Yeah,
it.
keen on reading it.
You can let me know what you think of it. How do
Looking
people,
forward.
if people are interested in connecting with you, how would they do that? How do they find you online?
So yeah, so myself, I prefer using LinkedIn. So this is my preferred social network, and I ditched X recently. I kind
Okay.
of disagree with I don't know, policy
Yeah.
and like what Musk made with this X Twitter social network, and I think it
Yeah.
was like way better prior. Yeah, Facebook, I use Messenger, but yeah, basically LinkedIn is
LinkedIn.
the most, yeah, LinkedIn. And of course,
Okay.
old school good email, ritis@omnisend.com.
Perfect. And if they want to learn more about Omnisend, they just go to omnisend.com for sure.
Correct.
So,
And yeah, it's outside of just the website, there is a great resource center, and we have like Academy. So it doesn't matter if you use Omnisend or no, you can learn about marketing automation, about email, SMS marketing.
yeah.
It's agnostic, it's all open, and it's all built on WordPress.
I love that. If you are listening to this episode and you are not Don't have your computer in front of you, don't worry. All you have to do is go to wpcoffeetalk.com, find Rita's episode, and all of these links will be in the show notes along with the transcript of today's episode. So, is there anything else I did that you wanted to say that I failed to ask you about? Anything else we should talk about before we sign off?
I think no. Yeah, it was a really,
Okay.
really great, like just easy conversation, as like with an old friend. So thank you, Michelle, for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate that you taking the time to tell your story and talk about Omnisend for the WordPress community. So thank you for being here.
Thanks.
And everybody else, we'll see you on the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. In the meantime, stay happy and we'll see you all later.